And it is usual on the bulletin that you bring your cushions and your lunches when I preach. How unaware and presumptive I can sometimes be. When Ricky and myself discussed the dates for my next sermon, I instantly jumped for the honour of this one, the feast day of Christ the King. However, a couple of days ago, when I eventually sat down to write the sermon, I found that my mind and heart simply shut down. All went blank. All I had read by way of preparation was like dry ash in my mouth. The words and ideas were lifeless. That inner voice was silent, leaving panic to raise its familiar head. Just then, an email appeared in my inbox. It was from a member of our congregation, one of our prayer warriors, asking me, "How are you doing with your preparation for Sunday? You were in my thoughts and prayers. Peace of God to you." I telegraphed back, "Work very slow, dot, dot, dot. No clear focus, no message. Continue in prayer. Not at ease yet. Thank you for interceding for me." The Holy Spirit is pretty straightforward, and when he has a mind to, he can really be very down to earth. So he indicates that when lost, retrace your steps, return to the IKEA box, and reread the instructions. In this case, indicating this morning's readings, to read, read, reread, and again and again read, and ask the internal question, what might the Spirit of King Jesus on this his feast day be saying to us here this morning as we gather together around his word, in his presence, and the presence of the Holy Spirit? Okay then. So looking at our Psalms, we see a sweeping and broad brushstroke dipped in hope, confidence, and security. I sort of like the Book of Common Prayer version of the Psalm. God is our hope and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Here in the King James and in our version here, we use the word refuge. God is our refuge and strength. So we see from the get-go that our Father declares himself in no uncertain terms to be for us. For us, his Christ-bought family. He is not against us, reminding us that our God is good always. I am your refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be moved and mountains be toppled into the depths of the sea. Even in the middle of crisis and chaos, we shall not be overthrown, and his help will come right early. So, despite all the political upheavals in the UK and the US of A, and nations making much ado about Russia, and kingdoms being shaken like Libya, Iraq, and Syria, we are instructed to stand back, look, and be still, and know that I am God. And knowing in this context is light years beyond mere intellectual understanding. Knowing here is the knowing that is embedded in the DNA fibers of our being. Joyfully know it, that our triune God in Jesus Christ is King and Creator of all that exists, and only when, as the Psalm says, he has spoken, shall the earth melt away. It is God, not humans, who has the final say about history and creation. And if we are still doubting and fearing, our Maker King directly challenges us in this psalm to confidently open our eyes and minds and look above and beyond our man-made blinkers. To history, to geography, to all the sciences, all the wonders of the animal and natural kingdom. As the psalm says, come now and look upon the works of the Lord, what awesome things he has done on earth. Generations later, it will be through the divine inspiration given to Paul in Colossians that we get an insight as to just how profoundly and deeply mysterious is this awesomeness. For through Paul, the Holy Spirit reveals that all creation, all that has existed, all that exists, and all that will exist, comes from and is maintained by the creative word, the Logos of God, who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. What makes the earth, the universe, the cosmos truly awesome is that all exists in a mystically bound up way. All that exists is mystically bound up with, in, by the very person of Christus Rex, Christ the King. The person of Jesus is a multi-layered mystery bound up with his also being the pre-existent, eternal, creative Word of God who dwelt and dwells among us. For the crucified and resurrected Jesus is nothing less than, and we go to Colossians, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible. For all things have been created through him and for him, and in him all things hold together. There is a strong theme of the passionate commitment of God our Father towards us in all our readings. We see God's Spirit progressively enabling our transformation from glory to glory, through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, and ultimately for Christ. This transforming love radiates from and through the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we can be spiritually sensitive enough to spot and recognize this. We call it sanctifying grace. We call it divine favor. This divine love is available to all of us who call on him in faith. It is an unconditional and eternal love. The love of God released to us in King Jesus is an effective, unending, self-giving, and self-sacrificing love. For it renews and saves each one of us to the uttermost. Our Father God, as Paul says in Colossians, has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. The love of this humble, straightforward, courageous, and unassuming King is testified to down through history by every believer touched by his living Spirit. Now, every Christ follower, by whatever route the Holy Spirit uses, symbolically and spiritually, is like Jesus. And eventually, like Jesus, we come to the place called the skull. Jesus and his cross, us and our cross. We will all encounter our cross. Like Jesus, we will, to our left and our right, be faced with choices. In Christian growth, we all enter the gardens of Eden and Gethsemane, en route to our cross of testing. But remember, our testing is by love and in love. So do not fear this time of challenge. King Jesus has been down that road ahead of us and has promised never to leave us or forsake us. And our God is faithful. But in that time of testing, will we hear our own scoffing voices and mocking words that have plagued us all our lives? Will we remember things that fooled us because they sounded so promising, but proved to be only sour wine? Will we hear our defiance? I was always king of my own life. Surely I can save myself. Do not succumb to fear in this wrestling. Quietly smile and think of the psalm. Rest and be still. These testings indicate spiritual upgrading and growth, not disintegration and failure. Do not look in and down, but out and up. Repeat. Do not look in and down, but out and up. The old hymn tells us, turn your eyes upon Jesus. By the grace of love and the promise of God in Christ, our King, we will be enabled to say with the repentant thief and with an earlier publican in the temple, Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner, and remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus will say to us, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Do not look and judge the lacerated, crucified Jesus by his mortifying appearance on the cross. See with your God-given eyes of life-saving faith. As Paul said earlier, in Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. The cross is the key to freedom through radical self-denial. The cross is the axis, the intersection of love and justice. The cross is the portal passing from death to life. Without the eyes of faith, Christ's cross is seen as a place of folly, stupidity, enmity, disobedience, defeat, failure, helplessness, and death. But with the eyes of faith, Christ's cross becomes the source of wisdom, forgiveness, obedience, victory, power, peace, and eternal life. The cross of Christ embraces this welter of paradox and apparent contradiction. But for us Christians, it recalibrates our notion of service, sacrifice, and especially kingship. Hitherto, Christ's kingship was without pomp and circumstance. For written over the mutilated body of Jesus is written, this is the King. And humanity's ear still echoes to his final prayer, Father, forgive. For King Jesus and all who follow, We are forever servants, one of another, living out his commandment for us to love one another as he has loved us and gave himself for us. So I have a heading here called Conclusion and Application. They're just headings, they have no consequence. So, let us now at the end go back to where we started with the sacrament. Hopefully with more confidence, hope, joy. And in that psalm, we will find our application and our conclusion. Be still and know. Be still and know. Let us ask the Holy Spirit to reintroduce us to and enrich those essential times of prayer we need to have with him. Effective prayer is actually simple. Four basic ingredients: praise, thanksgiving, supplication, and stillness. Praise, thanksgiving, supplication, and stillness. And as we know from home, the fruit of the pudding is in the eating. Prayer steadily changes things. It draws us, over time, to give us a total makeover. So, dear friends, I take the words from John. Now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be